Bomber Bradbury with him on the panel. Mr. Bradbury.
What does a $43 million loan to MediaWorks buy you on Radio Live? Apparently an hour of John Key avoiding answering any questions on politics. Why pay MediaWorks $43 million for that when John Key can appear on Close Up and not answer questions for free? Whanau, I've been critical over our mainstream media's non-ending love affair with John Key. It's our first cult of no personality. But Radio Live takes fair and balance to a whole new level of Fox News crazy. Radio Live didn't offer any other political leader an hour of free talkback and went on to claim that allowing the Prime Minister to host an hour of radio minus any hard questions at all about his policy isn't political. Which is kind of like arguing that allowing George W. Bush to write editorials in the New York Times about his favourite cake recipe during the invasion of Iraq isn't political. Radio Live says it's because of electoral law that John Key couldn't answer any questions on politics. Really? Put Key in there for an hour with an interviewer and ask him questions. That would have sidestepped those issues. But to give him an hour where he gets to hide behind a no-politics zone on the very day our credit rating was downgraded is simply disgraceful. This is New Zealand, not Cuba. The dear leader doesn't get to drone on and on and on about his personal crap 50 days out from an election. Rather than answer questions about the country going to hell in a handbasket, John Key talked about his cat and his views on Coronation Street moving time slots.
What do you think
No wonder the sleepy hobbits, love John Key so much. With media as uncritical as Radio Live, I'm surprised Key isn't registering 80% support. And John Key's attempt yesterday to blame the Labour Party for a man's attempted self-harm in Parliament is a new low, even for Parliament. Yelling, it's your fault, while making a throat-slashing gesture at Phil Goff, as a man with mental health issues dangled from Parliament's balcony, is the sort of ravings one expects from a meth addict on a bender, not the political leader of a country. Topping this nonsense off is Key's excuse that he was actually talking about Labour's criticism of his overspending on the Diplomatic Protection Service. What could justify making a throat-slashing gesture at Phil Goff for an event that had all the implications of an attempted suicide if the guy had actually fallen? What a lovely little piece of work our Prime Minister is when he's caught off guard.
There was certainly a lot of acrimony across Parliament when that happened. I'm a bit confused. I didn't see the TV coverage.
I was watching it and appalled.
Getting back to your point about Radio Live.
Yes.
What do you say about cats? That's the thing. Because people like cats. And I'm sure they'd be keen to hear what the Prime Minister thought of the moving of Coronation Street bomber. You haven't given us this vital information.
Sleepy hobbits reap what they sow.
What do you think about that, actually, John? You could argue that appearing on one radio station, couldn't you? You know, in riposte to Bomber, is not Fidel Castro appearing on every screen or every radio frequency in Cuba.
No.
I don't know. What did you think about what Bomber said?
Well, I thought it was a nice rant, and I just wondered how much practice he'd had doing it before he delivered it. I gather the Prime Minister talked about Moonbeam the cat, and I heard him on one other occasion, not on radio, saying that he was powerless in his household, and because he'd had no say whatsoever in the naming of the cat. The rest of the family had done it and told him about the outcome. Now, what that actually says and what the relevance of that is, it was a bit beyond me, but the audience that he told it to seemed to enjoy it at the time. I think that what we are seeing is the beginning of a scratchy, irritable period leading up to the election, where lots of slights and incidents are going to be taken out of context, exaggerated, magnified, and people are going to do their best to blow them up for political purposes, to denigrate the other side,
yeah,
and draw attention to themselves.
Okay, you both have the advantage of me, obviously, with this episode in Parliament, because I've been just relying on how the Herald reported it. Did it seem even more abnormally strained, though, to you? We've heard what Bomber thought of it. Did it seem peculiar to you, because it certainly does,
well,
from the way it's been reported.
Yes, it did. The security guards there are normally pretty vigilant about people trying to lean over the balconies and so on.
Yes, but the political reactions.
Well, I didn't really. I was watching the person, and I didn't really hear that much of that interchange.
Right, so you didn't hear the cries of scumbag or see the throat-cutting gesture?
Well, no, I didn't, no.
No.
I mean, I don't doubt that they occurred, but, I mean, all sorts of things occur on the floor of the House, across the chamber, all of the time.
I know, but it just seemed to take vitriol to a slightly new level.
Oh, yeah. I think that's a fair point. I mean, but, you know, the children in the playground are moving towards the climax of their political year, and they're sort of muscling up.
Very good.
The testosterone is rising.
Okay. Bomber Bradbury, John Bishop on the panel 10 to 5.